Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Papa from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. On Sunday, the Giants host the Dallas Cowboys in a pivotal game in the NFC East. Coming up over the next half hour, we'll tell you about the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Cowboys rivalry, plus a special interview with Mathias Kiwanuka. But to get things started, it's time for Sights and Sounds, brought to you by Verizon, as the Giants won their fourth in a row, beating the Green Bay Packers.
Great day for football. Nice and cool, no wind in the Meadowlands, that never happens. One of the oldest rivalries in football, story franchises, NFC showdown, should be a good one. Should be a good one. Don't miss nothing, don't blink.
Manning back to throw, steps up, climbs the pocket, fastball over the middle, caught by Riddle at the 5, to the end zone, touchdown Giants! 26-yard touchdown pass to Reuben Randall.
Hey, keep going now. Keep going. Hey, we'll never hate on you. Get up and go.
All right, Reuben.
Ball on the left hash. Tolzien, play fake, back to throw. Zips it over the middle, intercepted at the 40-yard line by a leaping John Beeson. Cuts right, gets hit, and gets knocked down, and then spins ahead, fighting for extra yards, never went down. Beeson fights and gets to midfield. Wow, what a play by John Beeson. Pascal in motion to the left. Hand off Jacobs. He runs left to the goal line. Touchdown, Giants. Time for the Jacobs quake. And for Brandon Jacobs, his fourth rushing touchdown of the season.
Hey, what was that? What was that?
He came in there laughing at me, though.
I'm talking about your dance.
He came in there laughing. I like that.
Two receivers left. Tolzien takes the snap. Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. He jumped right in the passing lane, just as he did last year in Dallas. And finally, Carl, you could say you're down with JPP.
Hey, I called it.
Are you back up?
I called it.
I hope you're back up.
I called it, bro. I called it, bro.
He was in the Hall of Fame.
You can run with a little more swag than that, though.
Hey, I'm
tired. Tolzien takes a knee-high snap. He's back to throw. He gets hit. Avoids the sack from Tuck. Now he's it down the middle of the field. Intercepted by a sliding Entrell Roll. And he stays down at the 14.
Great job, fellas. Outstanding second half. Way to play. Way to play and get the win and play the situation. Offense, defense, again, we're getting a little bit better. We need to step up and do it a little bit better than we're doing. Let's keep improving and working hard, and then let's keep the dream alive, huh? Let's get a team now. Let's get a team. One, two, three.
Sights and Sounds brought to you by Verizon. You don't want to change the dial. When we come back, a very special interview with Mathias Kiwanuka as we continue with Giants Access Blue after this. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. On Sunday, it's the Giants and Cowboys at MetLife Stadium. You know, all the players in the NFL have their own unique story. None more fascinating than that of Mathias Kiwanuka. For more on that, Dahani Jones had a chance to visit Kiwi in his South Florida home as Mathias talked about his heritage in Uganda.
Mathias's grandfather, Benedicto Kiwanuka, was an officer in the Ugandan Army during World War II. After returning from the war, he went on to study law in England before becoming a lawyer in Uganda in the late 1950s. Well respected by his fellow man, Benedicto would be influential in helping his country achieve internal self-government.
My father's father was Prime Minister of Uganda, and he was a champion for the people. He wanted democracy, and he wanted everybody to be able to have an education, and he wanted people to be treated fairly in all aspects of their life.
But after serving as the country's first prime minister, he was soon voted out of office, and then years later imprisoned by Milton Obote, the man that defeated him. But a military coup in 1971 deposed Obote and brought in Idi Amin to power. As president of Uganda, Amin released Benedicto and appointed him as the first Ugandan Chief Justice. But when Kiwanuka learned of the mass slayings and reign of terror Amin had forced upon Uganda, he spoke out and was consequently murdered for his stance. Benedicto is often referred to today as Justice Kiwanuka because of his devotion to the law. Matthias' parents would flee Uganda while the country was under Amin's tyranny. They married in the United States, and Matthias, the last of their three children, was born in 1983, 11 years after his grandfather was murdered.
A lot of people who know me would just come up and say, hey, your grandfather was a great man, and just, you know, they keep it moving. They just out of want nothing else but to just show respect for a man who's been gone for a long time. When I spend time reflecting, I feel like there's just a part of me that feels a responsibility to the people who helped me get to where I am, whether I know them or not.
Matthias has made numerous visits to his native Uganda. And early in spring of 2013, Kiwanuka, along with his wife and mother, took a goodwill trip to his homeland, rediscovering his roots while bringing some aid and comfort to the country.
It was me, her, and my mom. We all went back. And the main focus of the trip was to help renovate the school, St. Joseph's in Konge, which is the village that my mom grew up in and went to school.
And what a welcome they would receive once they arrived at the village.
Oh, my goodness, God bless you.
I mean, it makes your heart melt, you know, walking in there and hearing the kids chanting your name. Doing, I feel like, is it's what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, God's been great to me. He's blessed me with a lot, and so I feel like it's my duty to come and give back, and for them to show their appreciation to that level. I mean, it makes me want to do more. It makes me want to spend more time here. It makes me just, you know, grateful and thankful that I came from such a community.
We feel so proud to be Ugandans. We are Ugandans, born in Uganda, the part of Africa. Together we stand.
More than anything, it's an experience. I tell everybody, like, if you have no connection to East Africa at all, you should go, just because you'll see smiles on everybody's faces, and everybody's so friendly, and they're so nice, and they have this spirit of hardworking, friendly attitudes constantly about them as they go about their day, and it's like, it's inspiring.
It was great. It was a beautiful experience. It was my first time to Africa ever, and that was a dream trip to me because I've always wanted to go to Africa. I got to see Matthias with his family and his grandparents and his aunts, all 15 of them.
I wanted her to see it just because I thought it would help put things in perspective in terms of why things are important to me or why I do certain things the way that I do them.
Matthias is making an active effort to improve the quality of life in his homeland, and he recently teamed up with an international program that helps the critically ill gain access to essential pain medicines.
We were lucky enough to link up with an organization called Treat the Pain. They're responsible for 100% of the morphine that gets shipped into the country. Why that's important is because in Uganda, a lot of people who have the worst diseases and things that you could think of, they suffer, and they suffer in silence because it's not a common thing to go to a doctor. One, there's not enough doctors for the amount of people that are in the country, and two, it'd be a huge expense just to get them there. So we spent the whole day going around the villages meeting these terminal patients.
So I play American football with the pads and all, you know, the armor and stuff.
The last day we met, she was so happy that the Treat the Pain people had come back. And she was glad that we were doing it because tons and tons of people in her village who are suffering in silence and who don't have to, because there is this organization that will go, if you need it, to your house and deliver the medication to you. And so you can have some kind of dignity in your last days.
But we wish everybody who needed could get it.
We also visited a children's hospital, and we visited the cancer ward. And they said the day before, they were all out of morphine, and all the children were bedridden, and they were in pain, and they weren't laughing or playing because they were in so much pain. And the day that we went, they had just all received a dosage, and they were running around, and they were happy because they were no longer in pain. It just meant so much that we could go there and give them some type of pain relief so they didn't have to suffer anymore.
I'm very pleased with you, Thomas said to the fact patrolman. I need to learn all about the trucks to become a really useful engine, Thomas told himself.
I have a very special place in my heart for people who are doing work that relates to any kind of disease and illness in Uganda, because it's help that's very much needed. I want to be able to help other people achieve the most out of their lives as well.
Mathias leads the Giants in sacks, and they'll need him to come up big time on Sunday when the Giants take on the Cowboys. When we come back, we'll talk with Giants safety Will Hill as we continue with Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota, after this.
The New York Giants will hold their 18th annual coat drive in conjunction with FedEx and New York Cares this Sunday when they take on the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium. Fans are encouraged to bring new or gently worn coats to any of the FedEx trucks or volunteers located at each stadium entrance.
Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. Will Hill has made a big impact on the Giants so far this season. He's our subject in this week's Off Guard.
I'm all about fun. I love having fun, and I'm about my family. Anytime, any chance I get, I try to get my family together. We go paintballing, go-karting, or bowling. An actor. If not Denzel, I'll say Brad Pitt. Harry Potter, the book, Harry Potter, the movie, and Call of Duty, the game. It was actually two. One was in high school, state championship game against Don Bosco, and I did an amazing move that I didn't even know I had in me. I shook two guys, spinned around, and went and dove into the end zone. And I always wanted to dive into the end zone, so that was one. And then the second one was just making the first tackle of the national championship game in 2008. I never thought I'd be able to play in that stage in my life, and I was able to.
How about Will Hill rocking the Harry Potter theme? Time for this week's edition of Sideline Jam. That sideline jam is the Giants have made winning music with four victories in a row. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll tell you about the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Cowboys here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. We're back here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. Giants Cowboys. Doesn't get much better than that. Here are the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants Cowboys rivalry.
Here are the 10 things you need to know about the Giants Cowboys rivalry.
10.
The Giants have 10 defensive touchdowns against the Cowboys in series history, coming in 10 separate games. The most recent was Jason Pierre-Paul's 28-yard pick six off Tony Romo in Week 8 of last season. Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty. Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants! Jason Pierre-Paul with his first career interception.
9. Safety Terry Kinnard owns the Giants' record for most interceptions against the Cowboys. He notched 9 between 1983 and 1989.
8. The number of times the Giants have scored more than 35 points versus Dallas in the regular season. Most recently in the 37-34 win at Cowboys Stadium in 2011. The most is 41 points, done twice, in 1962 and then a third time in 2010.
7.
Wide receiver Lionel Manuel caught 7 touchdowns against the Cowboys between 1984 and 1990. They are the most by any Giant against Dallas in the regular season.
6.
Y.A. Tittle threw 6 touchdowns in a 1962 win over the Cowboys. They remain the most by a Giants quarterback against Dallas in a single game and came 2 months after Tittle threw 7 against Washington, a record shared by 5 players in NFL history.
5.
The number of home victories against the Cowboys under head coach Tom Coughlin. They're 5-4 against the NFC East rival at home since 2004 and 6-4 on the road in the regular season. Coughlin owns a winning record of 11-8 against Dallas despite the Giants trailing the all-time series 58-42 with 2 ties.
4.
The number of times the Giants have held the Cowboys to fewer than 7 points, most recently in 1996. The other times were 1972, 1974, and 1989.
3.
The Giants rushed for 3 touchdowns in a 2002 meeting, the most in a single game against the Cowboys in franchise history. Tiki Barber notched the first one, and Ron Dayne picked up the other 2 as the Giants won 37-7 at Giants Stadium.
2.
In 103 total meetings, there have been 2 ties in series history. They set the tone for the rivalry with a 31-31 stalemate in their first meeting in 1960 and tied again 13-13 in 1964.
1.
The Giants and Cowboys have met once in the postseason, coming in New York's 2007 Super Bowl run. The Giants beat them 21-17 in Texas Stadium, advancing to the NFC title game against Green Bay.
For the Cowboy 40. Sheds a tackle down the left sideline. Touchdown, Amani Toomer!
Those are the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Cowboys. Time to shift gears for this week's edition of Papa's Perspective, brought to you by United Airlines, the official airline of the New York Giants. Well, obviously, it's a huge game on Sunday when the Giants take on the Dallas Cowboys. And really, the Giants' playoffs started a couple of weeks ago. With the 4 wins in a row, the Giants are now back in a conversation, but they still have not accomplished what they need to do as far as get control of the NFC East. There's a lot of work to be done for this football team. So what are some of the things that this team must do on Sunday in order to beat the Dallas Cowboys? They must continue to assert themselves with the running game. Yes, they do not have huge rushing numbers, but the volume of their runs have been very successful. And the other important thing is to not allow DeMarco Murray and the Dallas Cowboy running game to get going. Because let's face it, folks, Tony Romo is having an outstanding season. I know you hear all the chatter about Romo making mistakes late in games, but just look at his numbers. 21 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. He is not the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. And in order for the Giants to be able to get him under control, get pressure on him, they had better control the Cowboys' run game and the short passing game to Jason Witten. That wraps it up for my perspective. Make sure you follow the Giants each and every week on Giants.com. Go to Facebook.com/New York Giants and follow the Giants on Twitter @Giants. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for watching Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
This week's Papa's Perspective was brought to you by United Airlines, the official airline of the New York Giants. Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. Giants Access Blue's restaurant of choice is Ben & Jack's Steakhouse. Visit their convenient location in Manhattan at 28th and 5th Avenue. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of a steakhouse. Visit MetLifeCentral.com for a chance to win amazing Giants experiences. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited. The Children's Place, the official kids' fashion partner of the New York Giants.